So the craziest thing, we started this and we didn't really have an idea of where this was going, right? And then I wake up the one morning and I sent this to Nicolette. And how is it that a 60-second clip that we did from our previous segment went viral on TikTok and had 25,000 views? And it made me realize that we underestimated, first of all, the depth of what we're doing, but the depth of our reach, because alongside that, JSE listed companies are now having conversations. Hey guys,
sending you little messages.
Do you want to have a conversation? Hey. And that's crazy because for us, I think when we said we were going to do this, that was never the goal. That was never the plan, right? It was just to do good stuff, put out good information and put out honest information. And now things are happening and it's crazy, but nonetheless, let's get the show started. Let's get the show kicked off. Welcome to Insider Exchange, the platform that hopefully gives you some honest and unfiltered opinions on things that are happening out there, things that are happening in the markets, things that are happening in finance, and everything that you need to know. Occasionally, as we said, we will throw in 2 or 3 cents worth of work and hopefully it gets somewhere. But I'm Jimmy Moyaha.
And I'm Nicolette Mashile, aka the Financial Bunny.
And I'm Simon Brown, no AKAs.
Unfiltered opinion.
Ideas and you're not quite sure why.
Does he secure the bag?
Sometimes you meet people and realize there's probably a reason why you stayed in touch.
Just listen.
Sometimes all the pieces just come together by themselves.
Woo! Welcome to Insider Exchange.
We begin with Market Matters, and this week's edition of Market Matters is brought to you by our friends at Finalto. Thank them for not yet getting us new mugs, but getting us very nice jackets.
Half a jacket.
And we're actually joined in studio by an analyst from the Finalto team, Ruan Landsberg. Ruan, thanks so much for coming through. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be taking a look at a couple of things. We're going to be looking at US CPI data. Obviously, that's been the big talking point this week. PGMs as well. There's been some announcements from China. They always move the markets, and we cannot ignore Pick and Pay. I suppose let's start with Pick and Pay, sorry?
Shall we start with Sean Summers? I mean, forget Pick and Pay. I mean, we'll come to Pick and Pay. So as I understand, Sean Summers, I mean, there's the rights issue. This is not unimportant. But late on Thursday, after market close, a little deal where basically Sean Summers gives 2 million shares for implementing effective leadership.
Yes.
Changes.
Yes.
Okay. So he fires some folks. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then that only happens October next year. Then in February 27, he gets another 1 million for CEO succession.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm paying someone to go and find a CEO.
Yes.
Yeah. And then 1 million, which he might actually have to work for financial performance targets. All in all, what's that? 108 million at closing price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice work if you can get it. Particularly the 54 million for effective implementation of effective leadership and operational structures. I suppose if you want Sean Summers back, you got to pay him.
That's my thing, guys. I built the business for you. I left the business in good hands and in a good place when I left. And for you, you made a mess of it. You want me to come back. I set the KPIs. The fact that they agreed to the KPIs shows you that the Pick and Pay board had very little negotiating power.
They had no negotiating power at all.
I mean, for you to say here's a 50 million rand incentive.
It's a signing bonus, I suppose.
It's a signing bonus. Yeah.
Look, rather a sign-on bonus than a we fire you and he has money, which is what they did with Peter Boone.
But also, if I'm Sean Summers, I don't want my bonus tied to your performance. I have a lot of cleaning up to do. I want my bonus to be reflective of I've done my part.
Yeah.
I want an easy life.
He was earning pounds. I mean, now he's got
to earn. You've asked me to come back to South Africa. You've asked a lot of me.
In the middle of winter.
That's it. Yeah. You've asked a lot of me. So accept that in that situation, I determine the KPI. Yeah. This is the ultimate KPI flex.
No, I take your point. I mean, it is absolutely the ultimate KPI flex. Mm. And hats off to Sean Summers because Robin Summers. I didn't know the Robin part, but anyway. And you know what? What the heck?
Mm.
Yeah. They'd like take them for everything they got.
That's it.
Yeah, which is about 108 million.
Well, hopefully it gets better. Hopefully the business gets better and the rights offer obviously went through. Part one of two, we'll still have that Boxer unlisting that will take place that'll do part two of two to raise the. I don't know. I mean, at the moment, I suppose there's very little we can do about Pick and Pay. The share price is reacting positively to the fact that something is happening. And I guess Sean's just there for the money.
Yeah, look, and they got saved, right? The take-up price on the rights issue is 1586. A couple of months ago, the share price on Pick and Pay was about 1586, which meant they could do a rights issue at that price rather than $8.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, dilution is 250 odd million into 493 million existing. So yeah, it could have been a lot worse at that point in time. But the interesting thing, so they get 4 billion from this. What they're going to get from Boxer? 6-8 billion, I think, is the plan there. 10 or 12 billion.
Pay off some debt. Hopefully.
It's about their debt.
It's also about
their market cap, which is currently 13. Which is up from when ShopRite could buy them from cash
for
on
9
hand.
Billion, yes. But if you do this, if this happens and it goes through and everything, you've got the opportunity to basically reset.
Yeah.
And I suppose as Pick and Pay, as the board, if the cost of a reset is to pay Sean Summers 100 million, 108 million, then it's either that or you lose a 12 billion rand market cap company, and so this is a better deal.
Well, and yes, and it's more than just that. I mean, look, it would have been business rescue, and my chart isn't zooming out as far as I needed to. But I mean, we're back at share prices, which were about when Sean Summers was last there. We're back at 2006 levels. It also traded there in 08 during the global financial crisis. This is a stock that had been 85 bucks at one point. So, I mean, the short answer is, and in fact, at its recent lows, it was back at 2004 levels. I mean, this has been a disaster.
Yeah, we did 20 years. We wiped out effectively the last 20 years of price movement with these lows and with everything that had happened. I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at a chart. We got as low as 16 Rand 50 at one stage, which was absolutely nuts. February 2014 was that spike down, obviously. But before that, you're right, 2004 pricing. Actually, no, it might have been even before. Yeah, 2004 pricing is where we were. And as you said, 80 Rand, long way away from that. But I see people loading up.
I see people loading. So rights issue opens Wednesday. I think it's LDT Wednesday or Tuesday next week.
Not sure. I'll check the date.
Yeah. So, and then it goes through to the end of the month. I'm interested in this. I had a position and then the announcement of the disaster was way worse. I thought at worst was a 2 to 4 million capital raise. I didn't see 10, sorry, million, billion.
Billion.
I didn't see 10 billion coming, and I took my money and ran. Small loss, but always the best loss. And then I ran. And it's looking interesting. I think Sean can do it. I you know, if anyone can. And the point is that Pick and Pay is fundamentally broken, but at the core of it, it's also fundamentally a grocer. They've got distribution centers in place.
They've got infrastructure. They've got all of that. They're not starting from zero. You're not building a new grocer.
This isn't Choppies.
Yes.
Which we were not supposed to laugh. But here's my funnest fact about Sean Summers. What I'd always remembered him for was back in August of 2006 when he got caught doing 186 Ks on the N3 in his Ferrari.
Sean's lived. Sean
has
lived
a good life.
Yeah, and now he's getting a good retirement.
He's lived a full life.
Kudos to the man.
Speaking of full lives, there's been a lot of stuff happening internationally as well. US CPI data, that's been I say US CPI data, but I suppose at this point President Joe Biden's taking a podium at any point is more interesting than the CPI data.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I mean, he went on yesterday as well and they asked him, are you stepping down now? And I mean, even there, he said Vice President Trump.
Yeah, I was going to say, was that before after he called Zelensky Putin? Which is what he did.
It's crazy. And the thing is, getting to a point where it's messing up the US, because I mean, at the moment, from my perspective, I mean, there's no better president. But
so you say crazy, but I think what we're forgetting is it really is crazy. The moment Donald J. Trump is a better candidate than your sitting or your incumbent president, you know, you've got
who's done well in the last 3.5 years.
Do you know what? But still, when you're polling and you're doing these debates and all of that, and people are saying recall Biden, because that's effectively what it is in South Africa. That would be the ANC recalling you
of the Constitution. You can essentially recall
it. That's it. It's not. It's not replacing a candidate. It's not the Democrats saying, "Oh, we're changing things." It's a recall that we're window dressing. However, but let's not digress from the CPI data. The data suggests that we're in for rate cuts sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
As early as September, I suppose.
Yeah, September, that's what they're looking at the moment, yeah.
That's a good thing. What does that mean for the Rand, though?
Yeah, well, for the Rand, I mean, I think just the CPI data alone, I mean, the Rand is obviously gaining strength. And I think with the CPI getting the rate cut, that should bring the Rand down to like 17 in that range. And I mean, we haven't been to 17s in a long time.
I like this, man. We must have him back more often.
So which it's good for us. I mean, at the moment, we've been floating around in the highs for the longest of time. I mean, we haven't seen low data this year to say,
We're below 18 now. Sorry to interrupt you, Ron. Yeah. We're at 1795 at the moment, which we've been flirting with that 1795 kind of range for a while now.
Yeah, it's been a year since we've been there. So it's
now
really
we're
good.
Finally seeing that. And I mean, if I look at a chart, if I look at a RAND chart, the start of the month, we're only 12 days into the month, granted, but we were as high as 1866. And it now looks firmly like we're heading towards 17. You look at this.
We're getting dollar weakness, dollar index. So, I mean, and the dollar index, the DXY, has got some lower highs, toying with the low. But to your point as well, it's just consumers have had money out of their pocket and corporates, except for those with cash, which is not most. And it's now, you know, it's just putting money back in. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's good for ZAR. I think it's good for everything. It means we can cut too.
Yeah.
Are we going to cut first? That's the question.
So there was old Nolan Vapanov from Anchors quoted as saying that the MPC, you know, loves high interest rates, wants inflation at 3% and blah, 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 and wouldn't cut if they had to. I mean, our CPI print was 5.2. The target is 4.5. The MPC's target is that we will get there like next year sometime.
2025,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So short answer is I don't know why they aren't cutting. And can they cut first? You know what? You don't want that big a differential because money will flow, but it's not going to flow because the ECB's already started. We know the US is coming. And why not? Why not a little July cut?
We started the hikes first. Why not start the cuts first? Yeah. We did. We started the hikes.
And a little 25 points in July. Come on.
Yeah, come on. PGMs. I don't know if you saw the announcement. I saw an announcement that China's launching futures on platinum and palladium to boost their own local market. And Ruan, I'm hoping we can take a look at the platinum pricing and all of that, because that's also been range bound, much like the rand and the gold price and all of that. A lot of it has been dependent on things like demand, and China's been struggling to figure out how they stimulate their economy. And I think this is something that they are now seeing is the result of their own bad decisions in the past, where they wanted to meddle in the economy in the first place. They shouldn't have meddled, and now they're paying
China,
the price. But that's China, right? What am I saying?
China meddles. I mean, come on. There's actually a big conference happening in the next couple of weeks. The fun thing with China is just go read the paper from the leaders, because they tell you what will happen in the next 5 years, and it happens.
And they do it. Because they stick to it.
Like, if you get in the way, you're gone.
They do it. Yeah, no, it's quite a crazy time. But I mean, commodities in general. So we'll start with platinum, and if we get time, we'll go through palladium and everything. But I want to look specifically at the platinum space, because for us, it's PGM miners, the Sibanyes, the Northern Platinums. All of those guys are adversely affected by pricing not doing its thing. And pricing really hasn't done its thing. It's stuck between a range of 800 and 1,100. It's been going sideways for 2 years.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you just look at the price action, I mean, it's forming lower highs on the weekly. On the daily, it's forming a range as well, which is obviously, it's called a bearish flag. So once again, straight into the top side, but obviously pulling in buyers to go short. So, I mean, if we continue like this, as we are doing now, and the day will close like this, I do see going back to 902. So I do see new lows being created on the daily as well, back to 902.
Okay, not so sure I do like
that. There we go. There we go. You're still on probation. So then if that's the case, then Ron, at what point does it break out of a channel? Because if we've been consolidating for as long as we have, technicals suggest that the longer the consolidation, the sharper the breakout, and the more impactful it will be, right?
Exactly.
We have this whole craze around, oh, we're going into EVs, therefore platinum's not a thing anymore. And now you've seen companies roll back, all vehicle manufacturers saying, actually, we're not going to make all electric. We might make hybrid cars or this or that. And platinum seems to be coming back into favor. At least China says we're going to start doing futures on it. So they clearly don't intend to give it up.
Yeah.
What does that mean for the next, I mean, if we do an outlook, say, to the next 12 to 24 months, is this a good time to be getting in this consolidation?
Let me just quickly run through everything here at the moment. Once again, if you look at the higher time frames, I mean, we've been trending to a downside now for the past few weeks as well. And I mean, there's been no significant indication for price to have bullish momentum to the top side. So for the past 2 months, 3 months almost, we had no indication of shifting momentum back to the top side. So I still do believe there's downside potential for us to go down. and tap into that lower area closer to the 902 area before we'll see some bullish momentum.
Okay, I'm tired of words like downside and bearish. No.
But there's a geopolitical story here as well, because these platinum contracts are going to be in rimbis, right? Not US dollars. And let's step further back to the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, where suddenly they've got these reserves
that are frozen
and they don't have reserves. What you've been seeing is buying of gold, because you can literally put that in a vault under your Kremlin or whatever.
Which
you
might India have. Has been getting gold back from the UK and its other depositories.
Turkey, Philippines, all of these countries.
Basically everyone that isn't South Africa.
Yeah, actually yes. But suddenly it's a case of like, whoa, hang on a second. And this comes to the whole, you know, I've been around long enough to hear a lot of the end of the dollar story, and at some point it will be the end of the dollar, although I don't know when, like probably not in my lifetime. But this is again just that trying to break that stranglehold, because suddenly wars are economic and you know, Putin lost however many hundreds of billions of reserves, which were just like, sorry, gents, can't touch it.
Do you know what I think? My two cents on this is the catalyst started before the Putin-Ukraine war. The first crack that was made in this dollar shield was China taking on the US in a trade war in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic and not losing.
Yeah.
Because the outcome that no country has ever done that in the history of histories, where you've come into a trade war and said, we will go toe-to-toe with the United States. You impose tariffs, we'll impose tariffs, and come out of it to live to tell the tale. And China has. I think that was the first thing. And as you say, we might not get it in our lifetime, but what we will get in our lifetime is a certainty at this point. I'm going to put money on it that gold will hit $2,500. I say that because it's only $100 away.
And quick point on the China. Yeah. So this morning, 5 o'clock, and I'm awake at that time, so it's weird. Balance of trade, $99 billion in favor of China.
See.
Did win that one. Gold.
You see.
No, well, gold, I mean, gold has been bullish the longest of time. I keep telling everyone, everyone's like, yeah, it's going to short. But the end of the day, obviously, with everything happening in the US, obviously, the guys are pushing their money towards gold, the safe haven that can obviously keep going to the top side. So long term at the moment, I mean, we're also in a ranging market on the weekly. We've been in a ranging market since May. But I don't see gold slowing down at the moment. I do see somewhat of a pullback, but I'd also do see gold pushing into 2.5 to 2.6 going forward.
Interesting fact, I'm looking at a chart. 4 years, gold return, 100%. It was at 1,200 in 2018. It is now at 2,400.
Which is 6 years.
It was 6 years. Sorry, mathematics. And that's why you live through a pandemic. You lose count of the years.
but it is, and it's in that range. To your point, I mean, at the beginning of the year, one of my predictions was gold 2,500. We got close, but there's no reason why we won't.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason.
This little consolidation you're talking about, it's been going on for a while. That is bullish.
Yeah, that's a bullish momentum, yeah.
But if you still, if you look at the consolidation, either way, if you look at just the performance of the gold price, right? 1200 went up, 1600, 1600 became your sort of your new support level. Then we go up to $2,000. Now $2,000 is going to be a firm support level. And then from there, possibly 2400. But to get 2400 as a support level, you have to punch up to 2006, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's still further upside on this. It's literally a chart, as Simon would say, from bottom left of the screen to top right of the screen.
Those are my kind of charts.
Yeah, that's what we like to see.
That's it. Easiest chart. And it's at this point, it's pointless trying to call where it's going to turn from, right? Don't try and call where to short from. Just let it do its thing.
Yeah, but short gold.
That's what people always do. Like, people always ask me, like, when's it going to turn around? And I'm like, if you've been stuck in this bias of 24 months of just when it's going to turn around, quickly trying to find the highs. But if you just stick to the bullish momentum, I mean, you'll be way up. You don't even have to figure out. Just wake up daily, you understand where it's going in the long term and figure out on the short term how to execute on it.
The man's young. I spent 20 years. The only time I bought a gold share was when I closed a short.
Ooh.
And they were profitable, except one. I don't know if you guys remember the fake takeover for Goldfields or Harmony or anyway. It was all fake. It was the Reuters got hacked or something. This is 20 years ago.
This was before our time.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. But forever and a day, the easy money in gold shares was when they popped, short them and then take the money. It was like, candy from a kid. That has changed.
Yeah, yes.
It is a fundamental change.
Do not try and run against a market like this.
Yeah. But fun fact, so gold's up 10x since Gordon Brown was selling the Exchequer gold back 20 years ago. The gold mine is not. They're I mean, harmony is at its 2004 levels.
That's it.
I mean, it's weird. Gold you can hold.
Yes.
Gold miners.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't, yeah.
That's nuts.
Gold is nuts, Jim. Come on, think about it.
No, gold itself, it's, I mean, I think just everything at the moment, it's backing it. Mm. I mean, even with the economy of the US, everything is at the moment backing gold to keep going up. And I mean, it's getting to a point where it's becoming dangerous. I mean, especially for hedge funds in the US, because I mean, these guys are all sitting in long positions. So I mean, the liquidity at the moment is panicking because these orders are not, I mean, someone needs to sustain that orders that keeps going up. And the guys are just entering long positions every single day.
Mm. Yeah.
I think we're sitting on the most long positions on gold ever in history.
But this is another testament to what happened when gold came down to 1650. That 1650 level hadn't been retested in years. And because there was liquidity stuck there at some point during the pandemic, I think it was 2022, we came down to that 1650 level and we swept all of that liquidity. But now that liquidity had been there for how many years? It's one of the most interesting things. I like that it's one of the most stable kind of, it's predictable at this point. Unlike things like platinum, where we see the channel, but nothing's really giving happening, it a move, you know? Nothing's
so here's
really
the fun fact on gold. Mm. According to CBS, Costco sells up to $200 million a month in gold.
$200 million?
Costco. And they bought out, they do the American Eagle coin or something. They bought out, I think, a 100 gram bar, and they sold it out in hours. Costco, where you go and buy toilet paper and bulk.
I've got nothing. I've got no response for that. That is, wow. Talk about diversity, right?
Yeah.
I think about the Starbucks model and their prepayment of coffee and all of that.
Don't
anyway.
Give Starbucks ideas.
Don't give Starbucks ideas. Mm-hmm. We'll invest your money in gold. No. Hopefully you guys don't get that idea. That's all we have time for, though. Thanks so much, Ruan, for coming through. Mm. Definitely going to enjoy having these conversations going forward. And officially welcome Finalto as one of our sponsors, one of our partners. But thanks so much, Ruan. Thanks again for coming through. That's Ruan Landsberg of Finalto. And this segment was brought to you by our friends at Finalto.